Hello and welcome to the Love Mondays Club podcast. I'm your host Helen and I'm here to help you unravel the mysteries of marketing so that you can get more eyes on your business and make more sales. This is the ultimate podcast for online female business owners who are ready to conquer their overwhelm, discover their confidence, and unlock the secrets to marketing success. Whether you're just starting out or already running a thriving business, Love Mondays Club is your compass to navigate this ever-changing digital world. Each episode, I'll bring you valuable insights, expert interviews, and practical strategies to help you stand out in a crowded online marketplace. It's time for you to dream big and succeed. I want your Mondays to be overflowing with inspiration, excitement, and setting the stage for you achieving your dreams. So if you're ready, cozy up in your favorite spot and get ready to unlock your business potential. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Love Mondays Club podcast. So today I want to talk to you about something that I think affects all of us at various points during our sort of journeys of growing our businesses. And it's all to do with our mindset. So as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, I've started working towards my coaching accreditation and I'm really enjoying it. I'm loving this very like sort of client focused work. And one thing that keeps coming up and something that I really love exploring, you know, with my clients and members of Love Mondays Club is this idea of reframing our thoughts. So what I mean by this is, well, first of all, really sort of pay attention to our thoughts, you know, this like narrative that we're telling ourselves all the time. The reality is that for lots of us, sometimes we're a bit more negatively inclined than positively inclined. So the idea of reframing is really about helping you to kind of see the thoughts you're having, capture them, challenge them, really see if they are a reality for you. But also as well, the most important thing is seeing what impact this is having on your sort of mental health, like your motivation, your stress levels, all sorts of different things. And a big part of this as well taps into this idea of like appreciating what we have as well. Because I know definitely for myself, one thing I'm really guilty of is I'm always looking weeks, months, years ahead in my life. I know, and I've talked about this in, you know, coaching that I've had for me and talking about my business, is that I can sometimes struggle to be present in the moment and kind of appreciate what I have and what I've done. For me, I kind of blame, you know, ambition. I always think, well, yes, I've achieved this, but there's, you know, there's always a million more things that I want to do. But actually, you know, the whole process of reframing has definitely really helped me personally. And it's why I really want to talk to you about this today on the podcast and why I talk to lots of my clients about it. And yeah, just sort of give you some ideas today about like how reframing can help you. So I'm going to give you some specific examples as well of like things that I know come up for me in my business, have come up for my clients, and I'm sure that you might also maybe experience this as well. Three sort of different examples we talk a lot about with reframing, like phrases that we sort of challenge in my sessions. One of them is the idea of time. So that phrase, I don't have enough time. Another one is this idea of like, you know, especially when you're starting something new, there's this feeling of like, it's too difficult, it's too hard, there's too many people ahead of me doing this. And then the other one is also dealing with the idea when potentially, you know, things don't go perfectly well in our business, or maybe a client decides to kind of end their contract with us or early, or they decide to leave. And I think in all of these sort of three situations here, there's negative thinking patterns that can creep in for all of us. So one of them is like personalization is a big part of that. So especially when it comes to like, you know, a client maybe leaving us, a lot of us, our gut reaction can be to take it personally, you know, and we often sort of think, oh, have we done something wrong? Are they not happy? Were they not happy with the service? Other sort of negative thinking patterns we might have is that sort of overgeneralization. So this idea, like, especially that one of like, I don't have enough time. So that idea, you know, that we use that as like a very sweeping statement, don't we? Rather than kind of looking in more specific detail at what we're doing, we just make this overgeneralization of like, I don't have enough time, therefore I can't do it. And that's the kind of quick conclusion that our brain comes to. Other things that we can sometimes do is catastrophizing. Examples of catastrophizing might be, you know, you lose one client and all of a sudden you start to feel like everyone's going to leave. Or maybe this idea of like, you know, when you're just getting started and things feel difficult, difficult and you feel like, well, if I can't do this one thing, then I'm not going to be able to do anything else. So it's kind of tapping into that overgeneralization there. And then generally, the sort of last negative thinking pattern that we can often experience in these moments is that all or nothing thinking. There's no middle ground. And I know for a lot of people I work with who they say, you know, perfectionism is something that they struggle with, that all or nothing thinking can be a really big thing for them. So it's always this idea that it's either perfect or it's terrible. And again, go back to that statement of like, I don't have enough time. It's always the feeling of, you know, I either want to have all the time in the world to get everything done, or I'm going to do nothing at all. We don't always sort of look for that middle kind of, well, you know, where can I meet halfway in this situation? So those sorts of negative thinking patterns, you know, there's something that all of us experience. I've yet to ever meet somebody who's said that they've never experienced one of those four negative thought patterns. But the thing is, though, in terms of like growing your own business and running your own business, we do need to build resilience to these sorts of things. And we do need to learn how to like challenge these thoughts and reframe them in a way that, you know, creates a much more sort of positive way of looking at things. And that in itself is going to have huge repercussions for your stress levels, for your happiness levels, for your motivation, your grit and resilience and carrying on with your business. But this sort of stuff, in all honesty, doesn't happen overnight. You know, you might not necessarily listen to this podcast today and be like, oh, click, okay, right, I know that I've got this, you know, overgeneralization thought process going on. Now I'm aware of it. It's never going to come back again. I wish I could wave a magic wand for all of us and that would be the case, but sadly not. So instead, this is all about practicing and introducing new habits into your sort of daily routine or weekly or monthly, whatever it might be, that can just help you to kind of challenge these negative thought processes and just start to overcome them in your own way. So I'm going to share with you some different ways that you can do this, and you can start doing this from today or whenever you want to. But trying to get this into your routine, that sort of practice is going to really help you to like retrain your brain almost in the way that you look at things. And as I say, you know, it's not an overnight thing, but the more you practice it, the more it will have an impact on your life. And also as well, you'll see the repercussions, you'll see the ripple effect across your business and your decision making and everything else. You know, a lot of these negative thoughts can also like, you know, tap into that self-doubt, and it holds us back and maybe stops us doing the things that we would love to do, or stops us taking the opportunities or asking the opportunities that are maybe sometimes put in front of us. So that's why learning how to like challenge these negative thoughts is so important for all of us. Number one, the first thing to do is to think about noticing when you're having these negative thoughts. So let's give the example of, say, a client has decided to end their contract early with you. You're going to go through lots of emotions in reality when you maybe first see that. And what you want to do is try and take a little moment, almost like step outside of yourself, like take a breath and sort of think about, you know, what are my gut instincts here? What are my instant thoughts? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And just that little bit of self-awareness is going to really help you to kind of see straight away like where your thoughts go to. I'm also always a big fan of journaling. Now, I don't do it like religiously. It's not something I do every day. What I find for me is that I love to scribble down my thoughts, honestly, when I'm feeling maybe a bit low and the negative thinking's kicking in. And I also like to do it when I'm feeling really happy and things are going really well. I always joke my journal is a little bit sort of Jekyll and Hyde, you know, it sort of swings from one side to the other. But what I really like about that is that every now and again, I just sort of flick through it and I take time to like reflect on like how I reacted to things in the past. And maybe like, you know, it's a great chance to see, oh, you know, a year ago I was thinking X, Y, and Z, but actually today I either don't feel this anymore, I don't worry about that anymore. And, you know, like for example, the whole losing clients thing, that was definitely something at every sort of early stage of my business I would have worried about. Whereas now, by kind of doing this like challenging of negative thinking, it's something that affects me less now than what it definitely would have done about a year ago, or a couple of years ago, really. So by sort of journaling and like having that self-reflection, scribbling down your initial thoughts, one, it just gets it on paper. You know, it's proven that this can really, it can be very cathartic. It can sort of get it out your mind. It gets it off your chest. And something I always say to all of my clients is that when you maybe get like a little bit of bad news, or you know, you're not happy with something, always take a break and walk away from it. Like never ever respond to things in a kind of state of like heightened emotion, because the truth is, in that situation, you're probably not thinking and acting as like calmly and rationally as you normally would do. So I always say, for example, you know, I found this as well, that when I remember many years ago in my education business, I noticed a trend of like people would sort of send the emails to say, oh, you know, we're going to stop sort of working with you now for various reasons. They would always send that email late at night. And that would often be one of the last things I would see before I went to bed. Maybe in the very early days, I'd think about replying late at night, which of course is not good because it's like a sort of, you know, gut reflex reaction to it. Or if I didn't do that, I'd be going to bed kind of stewing on it and probably not sleeping very well. So rule number one for me there was boundaries. Like, now I will not open my emails or look at my emails after about 6 p.m. because whatever I see in that inbox, there's nothing I can do about it until the next day. So there's no point me sort of filling my brain with all these different sort of thoughts and ideas and messages from people at a time, you know, when I should be switching off. The second thing as well is that, you know, in these situations, our gut reaction might be to go into that kind of like taking it really personally, sort of catastrophizing, thinking, oh no, if this is happening one person, it's going to happen with everyone. And, you know, we're coming at it from a much more emotional state. So actually taking time away from it to take some deep breaths and do these challenging exercises that I'm talking to you about here will really help you to come at it from a different way. Another thing to do is when you're sort of thinking about these negative thoughts is to then like question their accuracy. One thing I've always found, keeping with this example here about maybe if a client's leaving, like I say, when you take it really personally, it's hard not to think, I think, initially, like, have I done something wrong? Are they not happy? Were they not happy with the service? But what I found in my years of experience is that 9 times out of 10, it's to do with them. It's personal circumstances in their lives, whether it's like financial, time commitments, maybe they just don't feel the need for the service anymore. You know, there have been occasions, and I'm happy to admit this to you, especially with my education business, there were times where I stopped working with a client. Either I broke up with them or they broke up with me because, you know, our style of like learning and teaching just didn't quite gel. It didn't quite work. And I remember taking that, you know, a bit personally at the time, because of course, when you're first starting your business, you want to help everybody. Like, you know, you're so passionate about what you do and you really believe in what you do. There is that feeling of, you know, I can serve everyone. In reality, we physically, maybe with an exceptionally scaled model, we could aspire to serve everybody. But in reality, that's probably not going to be the case for most of us. And now, you know, when I talk to you guys about marketing, I always talk about this attracting and repelling all the time. Because actually, you know, it's important to repel the people, and not in a horrible way, but, you know, repel the people who maybe aren't the right fit for us, aren't going to like our style of how we work. And that's okay, because, you know, there are clients for everybody out there. There are, you know, coaches, trainers, educators, whoever, for the people in the audience as well. So it's all about us finding the right fit and matching it. So when I was saying about like this challenging the negative thoughts, questioning the accuracy is a really important thing to do. So asking yourself questions like, you know, is this thought really true? Do I actually have evidence to support this? So for example, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, well, perhaps they don't like the way they're working with me and, you know, they don't like what we're doing and maybe that's why they're leaving. So in that situation, I'd ask, you know, do I have evidence to support this? And actually, if you have good systems in place, like I've talked about before, and this is so important, where you're like regularly checking in with clients, you're asking for feedback, you're getting them to give you reviews, you know, you have so many touch points along the way when you're working with somebody that you're always checking in and knowing sort of where they are, that is going to really help you to eliminate these sort of like catastrophizing feelings of that they might not have been happy with things. And again, like I say, normally 9 times out of 10, it won't be the case, it'll be something else. And this is what sort of leads me to my next point, is making sure that when you have these sort of like thought patterns, to always seek out alternative versions to it. So let's say in the context of somebody saying that they wanted to stop like a contract with you, rather than just replying to it straight away and saying, okay, that's fine, this is our final end date, I always like to explore why people are doing it. And also as well, I always like to do that on the phone. I don't like to do it on email. And I imagine for most of us that we have quite close relationships with our clients and we speak to them, you know, like on Zoom or face-to-face, whatever it might be. So hopefully that's like a very accessible thing. And the reason I do that is because the problem is, we all know, don't we, in a text message, in an email, a like the tone and the wording can be really misinterpreted really easily. But that's not such the case when you're talking to somebody on the phone. Also as well, in those sort of phone conversations, my aim usually is not to kind of give people the hard sell and try and persuade them to stay, but I come at it from a very like curious approach. And that curiosity is one, to kind of find out what's led them to that decision. It's also to see if actually maybe there's something else I could offer them that could help them. So for example, I remember one family messaging me many years ago saying that they wanted to finish the contract, and they didn't tell me why, they just said they wanted to finish. So I called the mum and we had a chat on the phone, and basically the conclusion was that it was a financial thing. You know, they decided that one-to-one was just sort of not within their budget anymore. Now, had I not called her and had that conversation, I would have, you know, potentially just sort of ended the contract and that was that, and never spoken to the family again. But instead, because I have this, you know, like list of different services and different ways people could work with me, actually that phone call ended up being really positive because it gave me another sort of option and opportunity to help the family. And then I offered them, you know, like a group session or something like that, which was much more within their budget. Because, you know, what I found when I seeked that alternative explanation was that it was nothing to do with me. It certainly wasn't personal. In fact, they didn't want to cancel it. And the mum had sort of said it was a really hard decision and her child was really upset about it. And this is the thing, right? When people sort of send you these messages, they don't always articulate the real reasons of what's going on. And that's, you know, the issue with email and text messages and things like that. So getting on the phone and like just having those curious conversations can be really helpful for you, for, you know, challenging maybe these negative beliefs that you have, for also like retaining your customers. You know, a lot of the time maybe people don't want to go, but they just don't know what your other options are. And if that's not the case, then also it's a really good chance for you to get feedback and just find out, you know, if there was anything that could have been done differently. And again, you have to go into that sort of conversation with a very open mind, because I love receiving feedback and I love receiving ideas from people and what their suggestions are of how things could be improved or added to. But, you know, in reality, some of those suggestions are incredible that I've had from clients over the years, and I've implemented them pretty much straight away because, you know, you have those moments you think, oh, why didn't I think of that? It's a great idea. You know, there are other times where I've had people sort of suggesting to me, you know, that they pay a quarter of the price and have one-to-one services for that situation. And of course, you know, that's not going to happen. And again, that's one of those situations where you have to go into this with an open mind and, you know, not take things personally and recognize that like everybody views time and money very differently. And the value of things is very different to all of us. And actually, maybe there's some clients whose, you know, mindset around these things are just not going to align with yours, and that's okay. That's that whole thing again about like we're not meant to serve every single person. We just want to serve the people who, you know, share those same values and views that we do. So that's really important. We've talked so far about how to challenge these negative thoughts. So we've talked about like noticing the thought, making a note of it, taking time away to reflect on it, like not acting with like gut reactions, challenging the accuracy, like looking for evidence. Is this true? Is this not true? Seeking different ways, you know, almost like seeking like alternative explanations for it and the sort of why and reason behind like the actions of other people potentially. And then the next thing to do is to replace sort of negative thoughts with positive thoughts. So there's different ways that we can do this. So I'll give you some different examples. So for example, in the situation where maybe like a client has left, so it's very easy to kind of feel like, oh my goodness, I now have to replace them. If we have really solid marketing systems in place, hopefully that shouldn't be too much of a problem, which is why we always need to be consistently marketing. But the thing is though, all the processes in the world doesn't always mean that these negative thoughts don't creep in. What I always challenge my clients to do is to say, we've lost a client, but actually, what opportunities does this now give us? Like, you now have an hour in your sort of prime timetable slot. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to maybe use that time to introduce an offer that actually helps you to work with more people, maybe like a group situation or group program? Are you going to dedicate that time to actually working on another part of your business that you've been wanting to do for ages but haven't been able to because of commitments to clients and things like that? So this whole like reframing it from like a bad negative thing thing to actually a positive opportunity is really powerful and hugely motivating as well. So like another example is like the examples we had earlier when we talked about like, I don't have enough time. So one thing I always encourage my clients to do when they talk about that is to do a bit of a time audit and to really kind of break down the nitty gritty of like what they're doing and where they're spending their time in their business. And I think that is such an eye-opening experience. And we did this inside Love Mondays Club actually during March. We have this big sort of time auditing chart that I created, and it really helps members go through and see like what areas of their business are taking up the most time and actually where they could maybe cut down, where they could, you know, almost remove things that maybe aren't having an impact on their business, but they're still just doing it out of habit. And again, it's that reframing. It's like, you know, I have the opportunity, like I'm in control of my business. I have the opportunity to change things. I have the opportunity to like create more time if I really want it. And also as well, again, with that sort of all or nothing thinking, is to also feel like, okay, well, I might not be able to do everything straight away. Maybe I have to manage my expectations here. Let's say you're working on a project, you want to release a new course or program. You know, sometimes we have to manage our expectations of like, when like realistically that can be done by. But again, it like that negative thought of, well, if I don't have time, there's no point in doing it, then actually, you know, it's looking for the small wins, the small opportunities. Pretty much every client I've ever spoken to has talked to me about comparisonitis in some way or another. Because the thing is, when we first get started, we're all excited and we think, right, I'm going to go do some research, I'm going to go do some inspiration. Now, the problem is, the first time we're doing that, we don't have these kind of protective thought processes in place like we're kind of talking about here. And it's really easy to slip into feeling inspired by people to suddenly comparing ourselves to them and thinking, oh my goodness, you know, look how great these people are. How am I going to do this? Am I going to be able to do this? And the self-doubt can kind of kick in a little bit. So this is where reframing comes in. And I talk to my clients about this all the time, is I say to them, you know, looking for inspiration is great, but there's a couple of little tips I have to really help around this. So the first one is always to remember that each of us are at different chapters in our business. We've all been doing this different amounts of time. And actually, though, time doesn't necessarily also equal, you know, what stage you should be at. Like some people really hit the ground running in their first year. For others, it might take a couple of years to get things going. It's unique and different for all of us. So there isn't, first of all, this like one blueprint perfect size that we should be doing things. I always say, okay, if you're looking at somebody who's inspiring you, but also maybe you feel a little bit sort of intimidated by it or the comparison is there, what I like to do is to go back through that person's history. Sounds a bit stalkery, doesn't it? But I like to see where they came from, you know? And when I do that, and one of my clients said that they did this to me the other day. They said they went right back through to some of my early marketing to see what I was doing and see how much it's changed. And like when my client was telling me this, I was cringing to myself thinking, oh God, maybe I should go back and delete a bunch of stuff. But actually, I think it's important to leave it there because it's important for all of us to see that, you know, nobody is an overnight success. Nobody gets it right and perfect the first time. You know, my first videos I did were definitely a bit grainy. I certainly didn't speak so fluently. You know, right now doing this podcast, I think I've maybe had like one little blip in it. But otherwise, you know, I can chat and ramble for Britain. Ron, what are we on now? Nearly 24 minutes. But, you know, when I first started, I certainly wasn't like this and I had to do a lot more editing and, you know, nothing was perfect. So I always recommend people, you know, go back, look at people in the earlier stages of that, people who are inspiring you, and just look at their journey. Like, look at what they did, see where they maybe introduced new services, where they maybe expanded their network and started doing things slightly differently. And take those as pointers, you know, take that as like, okay, well, they did X, Y, and Z. That's something I can do as well. So it's reframing it into like, what can I take from this that I can then apply to my life and my process and what I really want to be doing here. I was talking to another client about this the other day, and I was saying how a lot of the time when we first get started, again, we go through looking for this inspiration and we're following all these different people in the same industry as us. And the problem is what we end up doing is filling our own news feeds with people who are really far ahead of us and, you know, doing their own thing. Now, one thing I've said to my clients is, look, if you feel like you're still kind of like building up this resilience and getting used to kind of reframing your thoughts and just, you know, having that kind of, like I say, resilience in place for these things, and you feel that, you know, comparisonitis is maybe still creeping in a bit, what I really recommend is just snoozing everybody. Like, it's one of the best things that we can do about social media is snooze people. So on Facebook, you can snooze them for 30 days. Different platforms, you can hide people or just, you know, unfollow them for a little time. And that's okay. And I actually find that, I know for myself, I find it really beneficial to just have the blinkers on and just really focus on like what I want to do. Because the thing is as well, you know, there are lots of people around you doing similar things to you, but you don't want to be copying them. Like, you don't want to be doing exactly what they're doing, because then you won't be unique and you'll always be kind of on the coattails of somebody else. So instead, like, having your blinkers on and just really having that like tunnel vision of what you're trying to achieve is really going to be helpful for you. So having that boundary of like how much stuff you're exposing yourself to every day is going to have a really big impact on this. And, you know, this isn't to say that you shouldn't be networking with people and, you know, like reaching out and talking to others and learning from them, because that kind of community is also really powerful. Social media is, it has a huge influence on our mood and how we feel about things. So you've just got to make it your own safe place. You know, it's your area. You know, people don't know whether you've snoozed them or not. They don't know what's sort of going on. So if you feel like that's having a big impact on you at the moment, just have a go at it. Just for the next month, kind of take yourself away from any kind of competition that might be putting a bit of negative thoughts into your mind, and just see what it does for your like your creativity, your ideas, your motivation. And then you can like gradually add these sort of inspirational people back into your life again, and you'll be at a much sort of much more positive frame of mind about it all, and it's going to be so much more beneficial for you. So a couple of other quick things to add in, just in terms of reframing and challenging these negative thoughts, is also, like I kind of mentioned this earlier, like always asking for feedback. So I always ask my clients for feedback on things at various points of working with them. You know, after a month or so, our first one-to-one, I ask for feedback. Normally halfway through, I'll be checking in for feedback. Sometimes this feedback is not formal. It's not necessarily, you know, getting them to fill in feedback forms. It could literally just be like a quick conversation. But for me, like doing little temperature checks all the time with my clients is one of the most important things, because I always say having like a client-led business, having them at the heart of what you do, you know, all the services you make, all the things you create, if your clients are at the heart of it, your business is going to flow so well, because you're going to be delivering a service that people really want. But you need that feedback to make sure things are working correctly, to give you a bit of reassurance, you know, that things are working well, and to also really help you in these moments when you maybe have a bit of negative thinking patterns coming in, to give yourself, you're building up by asking for feedback and, you know, hearing that your clients are happy, you're building up evidence to really help you challenge anything that might be holding you back. Also as well, practicing gratitude. So again, like I say, I'm not a huge one with the sort of like daily journaling, but I know some of my clients do it and they really like it. But there's definitely a lot of value and truth in this idea of practicing gratitude and kind of shifting your focus from, like, rather than focusing on like all the things you haven't got yet or the things you haven't done in your business, look at what you have done so far. So in Love Mondays Club, I always get us to do kind of like sort of annual reviews of our business. And the one thing that always comes out of it is people always say, I can't believe how much has changed in the last year. And it's, you know, we have really short-term memories, don't we? We really forget even what things were like for us maybe 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. So this for me as well, why having a little kind of diary almost where I scribble down like the days when things are going really well, and maybe the days when I'm actually, you know, not feeling top of my game. It's a really nice thing to look back through that and see, you know, look for patterns. Is this something that keeps coming up year on year? Is this thing I need to kind of address, maybe like in a coaching or even counseling session? Just looking at like how things have grown and developed. Like, I was looking through it the other day and I found a little entry from about, must be nearly 2 years ago now, where I was just starting to like scribble down ideas about Love Mondays Club and what it was going to look like and how the membership might be. And, you know, it's so funny, like reading back on that, all the ideas that I had, and, you know, some of those ideas I've stuck with, others I've totally changed. But that's the fun of like development of services and business, isn't it? But I still remember sitting in my garden, writing those notes, feeling really excited about, like, you know, starting the membership for Love Mondays Club, but also feeling really scared. You know, there was definitely a little bit of that, like, negative thinking came in, and a bit of all or nothing and overgeneralizing of how people, what people might think of it. But this is the thing, this is where having the power to like challenge those negative thoughts and overcome them and, you know, move past them. You know, if I'd sat there and let those negative thoughts creep in, I would never have started Love Mondays Club, and I would not be where I am today doing this, literally sat here right here chatting to you on a podcast. So writing these things down and making that habit is going to be really helpful. And the last one as well is also celebrating your small wins. So again, this just taps into this idea of, like, you know, we're always looking at, like, the big ideas, the big things we want to achieve, and actually we forget to celebrate just the little small things that we do in our business. So every week inside Love Mondays Club, I try and encourage everyone to think about, like, one win that they've had for that week. Sometimes, you know, members feel like they've had loads of wins and they want to share loads of stuff. Other weeks, you know, people will say to me, I don't feel like I've had any wins. But in reality, if we dig a little bit, even to scratch below the surface, there's always something in there they find that actually, oh, I'm actually quite proud of this, or actually this went quite well. And, like, a win doesn't have to be a huge thing. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I've had my best sales month, or, you know, I've got so many more new clients, or I've launched this new system. Because again, when we're on social media in the business world, that's all we see, isn't it? You know, we always see people celebrating big wins. They don't tend to talk about the small things. So that kind of downplays it for us. I don't know. I think sometimes it makes us sort of, like, value it less. So I always really encourage my clients to, like, celebrate the little small wins, because all those tiny little small wins will one day add up to the big win, the big one that you want to shout about on social media and tell everybody about. And of course, with all this stuff as well, it is important. And I think as well, having the self-awareness can really help you to check in with, like, these thought patterns that you're having. And of course, you know, if you do feel like this is having a big impact on your life and your business and your mental health, then I will always encourage you to seek professional support and advice as well with these things. But the things I've shared with you today are just little actions and steps that you can take by yourself as well. So as I continue through my accredited coaching qualification that I'm doing, one of my plans is to share a lot more stuff about sort of coaching and what I've learned and what I'm doing with my clients as well at the moment on the podcast. So if you do enjoy this content and you like it and you'd like to hear more of it, always feel welcome to get in touch. A few people have got in touch with me actually over the last few weeks saying they've been really enjoying some of the recent episodes. So I love hearing that kind of feedback. I'm seeking feedback here. But it does really help, because it helps me to decide, you know, of my millions of ideas for podcast episodes, what you guys would like to hear, what's going to be most helpful for you. So best place to contact me if you want to chat about the podcast or chat about podcast ideas is generally across social media at Love Mondays Club. You'll be able to find me, especially over on Instagram, is a good place to head. Otherwise, I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to catching up with you in next week's episode. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Love Mondays Club podcast. Don't forget to review and subscribe, or share this episode with one of your business friends. Have a great week, and I'll see you next Monday.